The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. In this podcast, we will be talking about the misunderstanding of Muslims in the U.S. and looking at the reasons behind that. I'm excited to share the knowledge I know and learn more about the topic. Hi, this is DJ Ace. In today's episode, we will be looking at the two different types of Muslims within Islam, which are Sunni and Shia. The split between the two goes way back to a dispute over who should succeed the Prophet Muhammad as a leader of Islamic faith when he was introduced. I found that 85% of Muslims around the world today are Sunni, while 15% are Shia. Shias are mostly located in Arabic countries such as Iran, Iraq, and Bahrain, while Sunnis are mostly found in other countries such as African countries and Arabic countries such as Morocco. Despite their differences, Sunni and Shia have lived alongside each other in relative peace for most of history. But starting in the late 20th centuries, violence occurred in many parts of the Middle East as extreme brands of Sunni and Shia Islam battle for both religious and political supremacy. The reasoning behind this was while most of Muhammad's followers thought that the other elite members of the Islamic community should choose his successor, a smaller group believed only someone from Muhammad's family, mainly his cousin or son-in-law, should succeed him. This group became known as the followers of Ali, in Arabic, the Shi'it Ali, or simply Shia. Eventually, the Sunni majority named Muhammad's close friend Abu Bakr to become the first caliph. Ali eventually became the fourth caliph after the first two before him were assassinated. Ali himself was killed a few years after, as the bitter power struggle between Sunni and Shia continued. At stake was not only control of Muhammad's religious and political legacy, but also a great deal of money in the form of taxes and tribute paid by various tribes united under the banner of Islam. This combination of money and power would only grow. After his father's death, Abu Bakr's son Husayn led a group of 72 followers and family members from Mecca to Iraq to confront the corrupt caliph Yazid of Umayyad dynasty. A massive Sunni army waited for them, and by the end of the 10-day standoff with various smaller struggles, Husayn was killed and his head was brought to Damascus as a tribute to the Sunni caliph. This was known as the Battle of Karbala. The Battle of Karbala became a lasting significance of Shia traditions and power, and put definite end to all claims to leadership of Ummah as a matter of direct descent from Muhammad. Some other key moments between the Shia and Sunni include the rise of the Safi dynasty in the 16th century, which basically transformed Iran from a Sunni center to a Shia stronghold of the Middle East. Also in the early 20th centuries, the victorious allies divided the territory held by the former Ottoman Empire after the World War I, cutting through centuries-old religious and ethnic communities in the process. Another very important moment was the Islamic Revolution in Iran, produced as a radical brand of Shia Islam that would clash violently with Sunni conservatives in Saudi Arabia and other places for decades to follow. With all the information I have shared, you can assume, despite long-running nature of the Sunni and Shia divide, the fact that the two have coexisted in relative peace for many centuries should suggest their struggles may have less to do with religion and more to do with wealth and power. These next few minutes, I'm going to do a quick overview of how Sunni and Shia are not very different, but to show you that there are some differences in them. For example, the pillars of faith for Sunni are Testament of Faith, Shahada, number 2, Prayer, Number 3, mandatory of zakat. 4, fasting. And at last, 5, pilgrimage, which is Hajj. For Shia, the pillars of faith are 1, prayer. Number 2, fasting. Number 3, pilgrimage. Number 4, promotion of good. Number 5, the cessation from the enemies of Islam starting from the first caliph. If you listen closely, you could hear the two differences in the pillars of Islam. In the Quran, the true 5 pillars of Islam are: Number 1, profession of faith. The belief that there is no God but God, and Muhammad, the messenger of God, is central to Islam. Number 2, prayer. Muslims pray facing Mecca 5 times a day: at dawn, noon, mid-afternoon, sunset, and after dark. Prayer includes a recitation of opening chapter, surah of the Quran, and then any other surah you would like to combine. Number 3, zakat. Muslims donate a fixed portion of their income to community members in need. Many rulers and wealthy Muslims build mosques with the money that they are able to bring in. Number 4, fasting. During the daylight hours of Ramadan, the 9th month of the Islamic calendar, all healthy adult Muslims are required to fast from food and drinking. They renew their awareness of gratitude for everything God has provided in their lives, including the Quran, which was first revealed during the month of Ramadan. Number 5, pilgrimage. Every Muslim whose health and finances permit it must take at least 1 visit to the holy city of Mecca, in the present day known as Saudi Arabia. Muslims believe that it's the house of Abraham, built for God and face in its direction, Qibla, when they pray. Since the time of the Prophet Muhammad, believers from all over the world have gathered around the Kaaba in Mecca on the 8th and 20th days of the final month of the Islamic calendar. To close out the episode, let's look at the modern tensions between the Shias and Sunnis. In the Arab world, Shia groups supported by Iran have recently won important political victories. Shia dominate the upper reaches of the country military and security services and are the backbone of the forces fighting for support. Since 2003, the Shia majority has dominated the parliament and produced its prime ministers. Iran, a majority Shia country, has seen its original influence swell as its allies in these countries have accumulated power, while the Sunni governments, especially Saudi Arabia, have increasingly worried about their own grips on power. Iran's Islamic Revolution in 1979 gave Shias the opportunity to implement their vision for an Islamic government ruled by the jurists. The transformation of Iran into a Shia power after the Islamic Revolution inducted the Saudi Arabians to accelerate their propagation of Sunni, as both countries revived a century of rivalry over the true interpretation of Islam. For their part, both mainstream and hardline Sunnis aren't singularly focused on oppressing Shias. They have fought against the Shias for brotherhood in Egypt and Iraq. Sunnis' goal is to share a common power struggles among Muslims under the 5 pillars of Islam. In the world we live in, many of the people who don't understand the religion of Islam are confused by what are the true Muslims. I hope in today's episode I was able to give you guys enough information to be able to use to know the difference between a Shia and a Sunni. There aren't many differences in their beliefs, but with the Shias, power and political views do play a role into their beliefs, while as for the Sunnis, we believe that the 5 pillars of Islam is the way life should be lived by. I would consider myself a Sunni due to the fact my family grew up under those beliefs. We grew up knowing that the five pillars of Islam are known as profession of faith, the belief that there is no God but God and that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Prayers. Muslims are obligated to pray five times a day. Even if you're not able to make it during those times, you will have to make it up by the end of the day. And there is a way you can pray the next day to add more blessings to you, but to make up for those days, you gotta pray it before the night ends. Number three, zakat. Growing up, my mom would always donate at the mosque as zakat. There's many ways you can do zakat. Anyone you see on the street, you can give money. You can give money to family members. But the best way you can give zakat is to donate to the mosque. Number four, fasting. Not to get too ahead of myself, but the next episode will be about Ramadan. Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. All healthy adults are required to fast from food and drinking. It's from when the sun comes out to when the sun goes down. At last, pilgrimage. Every Muslim whose health and finance permits them to be able to make one visit to the holy city of Mecca, they are required to. My mom and stepdad have been able to attend Mecca, and one day my goal is to pay for their ticket to go again. And I hope myself I'm able to make a visit there one day. Every Muslim that's, again, able to pay a ticket or be able to be in good health and is able to attend should make a visit to Mecca. Sadly, we have come to the end of today's episode. I hope that my listeners have been able to gain a lot of information from today's episode. I am looking forward to our next few topics. I hope that you guys will join me for those episodes. To my fellow Muslims, Eid Mubarak. Hope Allah allows us to reach our holy month. May Allah accept our prayers. This is a month of forgiveness. This is a month to give back. I hope we all take advantage of this and use it to our benefits. Thank you to all my listeners for listening today. More episodes will be coming out very soon, and very important topics will be touched on. I hope you all are ready for that. Ace out. Have a great one.